Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. All right, so we are in the middle of the summer, and I know lots of people have been and are talking about reopening, and every state and province, all that is different. We still haven't reopened our worship gatherings yet. We're working on that plan, but I guess today's question is really focused toward multi-site churches. So here's the question. In a multi-site context, should we reopen all campuses at once? So that's it. What do you think?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here is the wild and wonderful world of multi-site right now, because I talk to a lot of pastors, and with a multi-site background and doing this podcast, you know, obviously we get asked for advice a lot. One of the interesting things that's happening right now is if you look at any metropolitan area, it usually has several things going on with it. So you have a mayor, and you have a, you know, maybe a downtown thing going on where there's some, guidelines or actually ordinances put in place. Then you have the county, and then you likely, if you have multiple campuses, you might actually be in different counties in different cities within the city, towns or districts or whatever in the city that have different rules. So, for instance, you know, in Nashville, you have lots of different people right now who have, they've got one campus location in Nashville, which has the most stringent rules. And then if you're outside the city limit, but you're in that county, there's different rules. And then you come down to Williamson County, who has its own rules. And then Franklin, who has its own rules. So it's just crazy. I would think it would be really difficult to launch them all at once if you have several, unless you're lucky enough that they're all following the same guidelines. Otherwise, it can be difficult to manage and not get those lines crossed.
Yeah, that's so fascinating, because in the States, you obviously have the CDC guidelines as kind of a standard, but it's fascinating how in Tennessee, but also I wonder how much of that is actually all across the states. And I wonder if that depends on whether it's more of a blue state or a red state. In Canada, it really is provincial. So cities don't have, and towns don't have, different opening rules. It's by province. So in Alberta, and we're connecting with other churches in Alberta, so it's different per province, but in Alberta, it's one set of guidelines, and this is what it is. So it's a little bit easier in that sense. But I definitely see the complexity in and around this question when you do have different guidelines. But if you, let's say, okay, whether you have same guidelines, different guidelines for the different campuses, let's say you kind of find the common ground, okay, this is what applies across all. Would you recommend that a church reopens all its campuses at the same time?
I would say there's a couple of things to consider that you should find out. I mean, remember, in God We Trust, everybody else has to bring data. So you may be a great intuitive leader, and you may be surrounded by, you know, a couple of sharp guys, and you guys all are on the same page. Yet there may be people that are in your congregation that are, well, they're just as influential with the congregation as you are. They just don't have the position. And they may be a mom of somebody who has asthma, or that the difficult issue in navigating this is you want to first roll out, I would say having a survey is really important to understand your context. So go ahead and collect that demographic information so you can know, oh, our older people, you know, want X, or our young families want Y, or whatever it is, so that you demographically will be able to parse that out. Don't just send out a survey. If we start next week, are you coming back? Waiting to see what happens or whatever? No. I would say, you know, make sure you're getting demographic information on that as much as possible, and don't make decisions in the dark. When you do make a decision, as we pointed out in the episode with Ed, you want to, you know, everybody come forward with unity, both from a staff perspective and a elder or whatever your polity perspective is, your leadership.
Yeah, let me make a comment on that. I'm really grateful that you brought up the data point of things. Lifeway came out with a great survey in and around COVID and some sample questions that I know my assistant was able to compile that with a lot of other ones, and we sent out a survey at least at the time of this recording a few weeks ago. By the time this released, a few months ago, and then we're now going to do is send out another survey. And the beauty of that is, yeah, we might add a question or two, but I'm generally wanting to keep the questions the same so we can see how, as time progressed, how our congregation responded differently and what the trend lines are. And by having that survey and by doing it multiple times over the course of reopening and over the course of these months, you're able to see, okay, as culture goes, is your church family actually feeling more comfortable about this, about reopening and about what is happening, or where are they at? And that's going to give you a great sense of where people are.
It will be, and you'll be able to see what segments of the congregation are shifting one way or the other. So if you have the luxury of setting up that survey on a tool, like, do you guys use Google? Do you use SurveyMonkey? What do you use? What do you guys use, Tim?
Yeah, we just use SurveyMonkey because it was easy.
Okay. So one of the most helpful views is when you can see, I think it's called a data tree, where there's a line down the middle, and then, you know, specifically if you're comparing two demographics, male and female, or something like that, it's really fun to watch the bar shift from one side to the other on a specific thing. But whatever you can do visually will help you and your team process this. So if they can visually see how shifts are happening, then it's going to be a point of conversation as to, okay, well, why is this shift happening? Another practical thing I would say, Daniel, is if you are in a situation where your campuses have different rules, just almost treat it like you're launching a new campus. So, you know, like we would strategically do prayer gatherings in order to, you know, start to get some of the kinks out and get people accustomed to that location and things like that. We would also do preview services. So look at this almost as a preview service scenario as well. So to say, hey, it might be good for us to do one, you know, this campus first, and then we'll take the learnings, we'll take the findings, and, you know, using the OODA principle, observe, orient yourself, you know, decide and act. Like, let's observe what's going on and then diagnose why, you know, it's going on, and then decide and then and act. I think that's a really good way to look at it too.
Yeah. So where we're landing on this, because I see there's a spectrum, obviously, where depending on where you are, there might be guidelines to say, okay, well, the restrictions are 100 people or 50 people or 500 people or whatever that is, or it's a percentage of what your seating capacity is. And I think at some point you might have within a multi-site context, smaller campuses that are like, well, we can meet, right? We can do that. And the larger campuses being like, well, actually, that doesn't work because there's no way we can fit that many people in. My opinion, really, especially for multi-site churches that are aligned, is to actually open all the campuses at one time. Because what you're going to face when you open up a smaller campus first or a few smaller campuses first is you might actually end up having a lot of people from your larger campus want to go to that one, especially if you're doing reservation of seats and only allowing a certain number of people come in. Or however, what could end up happening is you end up having to run like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 services, which is just not sustainable. So if you are, so as you come up with your reopening plan, and obviously we're talking specifically about multi-site context, as you do your reopening plan, you have to really consider, okay, what can your staff handle? What does that look like? Because here's the thing, it was a lot as in the moment, I think it was difficult for us to be like, oh yeah, it's hard to close down. Man, closing down was so much easier than opening up.
Right.
So much easier. So if you haven't already begun plans or if you haven't worked on that, man, you need to start now. Like, you should have started yesterday, but you need to start and be like, yeah, you may not be able to open up for a little bit while, but what are your plans? Do you have personal protective equipment? Do you have all these things in line? Do you have all of these things ready so that when restrictions are lifted in your area, you are able to move forward and do that, and do that centrally so that all the campuses can open up at the same time?
Yeah. We have a great course for that on Grid, and it's totally free. That, again, we don't put a cookie cutter thing together for you. What we do is provide you kind of a step-by-step approach where you come out with your plan, because as we pointed out, there's not something that you can copy off a machine these days and come out. So be really careful in that. And that's a great resource if you're looking for one.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for listening in. If you have any other questions that we can help you with, I think Todd wanted to add a few other categories. We usually just talk about church planning, multi-site multiplication, leadership and discipleship. But what other questions should people submit, Todd?
If you have questions about firearms, animal husbandry, cryptocurrency, apple trees.
Apple trees? Like...
Oh, like, dude, like I have
ambrosia. What is your favorite type of apple?
Probably a Cripps Pink.
Oh,
a Pink Lady or a Honeycrisp. So actually the Honeycrisp comes from a Cumberland Pink, and I forgot the other apple, but it's like, it's the result of breed. Did you know? That apples, no, seriously, like it's patented like a song. Like you have a royalty if you grow that tree, buy that tree, whatever.
Seriously.
So well, you are actually breaking the law if you have a Honeycrisp apple tree and you didn't, register it or pay for it.
Not really.
If you didn't buy it and it was paid a royalty on it. Wow. It's the same same thing with like Roundup Ready corn. If you ever want to talk about glyphosate as well, I could.
All right. Well, all those questions, you can submit them at newchurches.com. Hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or if you're on your mobile device, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can send that in. All right. Thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.